Good evening, everyone, and I hope you all are doing well. Welcome to our prayer meeting today, and let's commit this time to God in prayer. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, and we want to praise you, God. We want to give you glory and honor to you, God, for this beautiful time that you have given us, God. And even, God, as we come together, Father, as a church, I pray that you will speak to us, God, even as we meditate on your word, God. And I pray, God, that as you speak to us, God, your word will be very clear to us, God, and you will give us a heart, God, of obedience, God, and to respond to your call, God. We thank you, Father, and we praise you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, so the message title today will be Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. So I've shared the slides. Hopefully you can see the slide. If you can't, just let me know. So the title is Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And the passage is taken from Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. So I'll read the passage. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I cancel all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. So this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Church, as we read this passage from Matthew chapter 18, right from the beginning of this chapter, we can see that Jesus and his disciples were having conversation about the kingdom of God. So Jesus was highlighting about what we need to do and how we ought to respond when a brother or a sister sins. We can see that in verse 15. He spoke on how forgiveness and love should be the central characteristics within us. As Jesus was speaking on this and the kingdom of God, in verse 21, we can see Peter asked Jesus, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? So Peter was emphasizing and focusing more on the number of times to forgive someone. You know, it's like setting a condition or a limit before we release the judgment on the offender. Seven times I'll forgive you, the eighth time you do something, or 10 times I'll forgive you, the 11th time you do something, you'll see what I'll do to you. So it's like releasing the judgment on the offender after he sets the condition, right? So it's like keeping record of someone's sin against them and executing the judgment when the time comes. But Jesus' reply would have shocked him and the other disciples. In verse 22, we can see that Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Jesus was asking Peter to forgive like how God forgives mankind, where grace and mercy is displayed without any conditions set. Jesus was reminding Peter to mirror God and keep offering forgiveness to the offender. Church, when we talk about forgiveness, right, it's definitely not an easy subject to discuss. And despite of us being in the church settings for many years, I believe that all of us still struggle with this topic. So we do communicate and relate to each other frequently in the community we are in. like a workplace, family, you know, neighborhood, ministry, and church, and so forth. But there are surely bound to be failures and breakdowns among Christian brothers and sisters. And forgiveness is the way to handle that. So as we look at the question that Peter asked Jesus earlier, let's ask ourselves, do we struggle with this question or not? Do we ask, like, how many times should I forgive someone who has done something wrong and keep coming back for forgiveness? How many times do I forgive this person? If I forgive someone, do I straight away trust someone? He has betrayed me, he has done this. Do I straight away trust them? Is that what forgiveness is all about? And so, church, let's reflect on the passage again. And as we meditate on what God is speaking to us through this parable, hopefully we can answer some of these questions. So let's look at verse 23 to 25. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. So the parable is about the king, right, who's settling account with his servants. So one by one, servant was brought before the king to settle. And soon the servant who owed 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. So in Greek, the 10,000 bags of gold was also called 10,000 talents. So the sum calculation that I'm showing there, right, it's like one talent is equal to 6,000 denarii, the Greek and Roman silver coins. And the denarius was a standard silver Roman coin that is equal to a day's wages. So if one denarius was what a man like the servant would earn in a day, it means that, right, he would need to work 6,000 days to earn one single talent. So imagine the number of years he must work to pay the debt as he owes the king 10,000 talents. So clearly what the passage is telling us is the servant owed the king such a huge debt and it's incalculable. He owed the king something which he could never settle or pay back in his lifetime. So since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and every single thing that he had be sold to repay the huge debt. Church, our God is the King of Kings. He's a holy and righteous King. And he loves us so much. But as much as he loves us, right, he hates sin and cannot tolerate the sin that we commit. So if you look at Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So we are all sinners, and all of us have sinned and disobeyed God one way or the other. So none of us can call ourselves righteous, as we have all turned against him. Our sins are like debt. You know, the servant owed the king, right? So our sins are like debt that we owe God. And the debt we owe is really great. There's nothing that we can do to cancel the debt on our own. Again, if you look at Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says that for the wages of sin is death. So since the debt we owe God is great and there's no way we can settle this on our own, there is punishment due for this debt. So God, in his righteousness, will judge and condemn us to eternal separation. And we have to agree that this judgment from God is right and deserving because of our sin. And as we move to verse 26 and 27, it says that at this, the servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. So what the servant did, like, he knew there's no hope for him. And the king's order is absolutely right and final. So in that moment of desperation and brokenness, the servant humbled himself, fell on his knees, and begged the king. He asked the king to be patient and promised to pay him back everything. The king knew the astronomical amount the servant owes and how impossible it is for the servant to pay back the debt. The king's heart moved when the servant backed him, and he had compassion and mercy on the servant. He canceled all the debt and let the servant walk free. But the king's forgiveness came at a cost. We saw earlier the debt owed by the servant is quite high, right? And now the king willingly forgave and showed mercy, knowing he could never recover the amount owed by the servant. So the forgiveness of the king came at a cost. Likewise, God does the same to us also. Our sins are great, and we deserve the punishment reserved by God for us. However, in our brokenness, church, if we seek God, and if we humble ourselves and ask for forgiveness, He will have mercy and compassion on us. He will forgive and will wash our sins away. Our debt will be cancelled and we will be free. If we can look at Micah chapter 7, verse 18, it says that who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. And we can see in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, it says, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. God's forgiveness, just like the king just now we read, God's forgiveness came with a cost too. It came in the form of the cross. In Hebrews 9:22, again it says that, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of the blood, there's no forgiveness. And in Ephesians 1:7, it says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. God's forgiveness came at a cost. He sent His only Son to die for our sins on the cross of Calvary, that through His death, our sins or our debt is cancelled. So church, this is astonishing grace, right? But that is what God offers to those who are broken before Him and could never begin to repay what they owe. Our God is a merciful God, and His mercy is very huge. It's a merciful God. When we say that our God is a merciful God, what we say is like simply means that His patience is always available for each one of us, even right now. So when God shows His mercy to us, right, what He's doing is He's being patient with us and does not rush to bring the judgment upon us immediately. Rather, He extends forgiveness to each one of us. Church, our sins are great, but His mercy is greater. Now, when we move to verse 28 and 30, we see what the unmerciful servant does. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, said, "Be patient with me and I will pay it back." But this servant, the unmerciful servant, but he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. So the servant found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed and choked him and asked him to pay the debt. So clearly what is owed by the fellow servant is relatively small if you compare to the debt the servant previously owed to the king. So if we see clearly, right, despite the fellow servant doing the exact same thing, the unmerciful servant acted the opposite. So we can see when the unmerciful servant, right, fell on his knees, begged, and promised to pay the amount. We can see this in verse 26. The king, on the other hand, responded by forgiving the servant and cancelled the debt and let him go. So we can see this in verse 27. But on the other hand, for the fellow servant, right, he fell on his knees, begged, and promised to pay the amount. Verse 29. However, the unmerciful servant refused to forgive and threw the man into prison until he could pay the debt. So we can see like similar things taking place, but the unmerciful servant did not forgive his fellow servant. So in the context of this parable, forgiveness is like cancelling the debt. The king cancelled the debt owed by the servant, the servant, he didn't forgive the fellow servant. Instead, held on to unforgiveness. The servant began to treat his fellow servant harshly and acted out of anger. He threw the man into prison until he could pay the debt. As we look at this passage, church, sometimes we too treat our brothers and sisters who sinned against us the same way the servant treated his fellow servant. We will be harsh, angry, And we will never let go of the offender, and we will keep punishing them. And sometimes what we will do, we will keep rehearsing the wrong things that they did to us in our mind. We'll keep rehearsing it. We keep the wound fresh in our hearts, and we keep holding on to the hurt they caused us. And all this takes place simply because our heart has been hardened due to our unforgiveness. And because of that, we cannot let go of these things. We keep it close to our heart. So when our hearts are hardened, we will be spiritually blind and never be grateful to the mercy and forgiveness shown by God to us. I would like to share something that took place in my life many years ago. So in my previous company that I worked, there was this colleague of mine who's also a few years senior to me. So she's really good at what she does. And because I'm new, I used to spend a lot of time, my initial working period with her, going for training, learning things from her. She's really good, so she will teach me a lot of things. So she's the role model of the team, and she's everyone's friend, and we respected her a lot. But what she did was, she'll use her friendship that she has with us and her position as the team head, and she will find out all our personal details, slowly ask us things, and what she'll do, she'll go around and gossip about us to one person, that person, carry information, go around and say things. So one day I found out that she was bad-mouthing me, and so I confronted her. So she said things that I did not say, and I got to know, so I wanted to confront her. So I went and spoke to her, but I was very young back then and didn't realize the repercussion of confronting your senior at your workplace. So soon, what happened was like I was boycotted. So I was isolated, my team, and she was the reason many colleagues used to be in good terms with me have stopped talking to me. So she was also the reason I was in bad books with my manager. So after some time, I moved on to other department within the same organization. But despite of me moving to different department, I could not forgive her. And I was hurt within and never felt like forgiving her. There's no way that I can trust her to be my friend or share with her anything. So forgiving her was something very impossible for me to do. And we look at Mark chapter 11, verse 25. It says that whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. So it clearly says that we need to forgive. So it took me some time, a few years actually, before I realized how much I was hurting inside and how much actually I'm bitter against her and how much I'm holding things against her. Not only that, the anger and the bitterness within me were branching out to other aspects and people in my life. It was just like, you were just like showing it to other people. It was affecting my relationship with God too. So I forgave her, and by God's grace, I moved on. And now many years have passed by, and by God's grace, I'm still in good terms with her until today. And we still keep in touch. And despite of me moving to different company, you know, working in different places, we still do keep in touch with each other. So church, we know we have to forgive the offender. We know this. But sometimes we struggle to forgive. And most of the time, it's our misconception of forgiveness, our understanding of forgiveness. So I'll just share briefly some of the common misconceptions we might have to help us to understand better. So some of the points, I'll just share briefly some of these points here. And I took this from an article on common misconception on forgiveness by Laura Peterbridge. She's an international author and speaker who serves couples and single adults with topics on relationships, step families, and divorce prevention. So I will share a few common misconceptions on forgiveness. The first thing is we think that forgiveness, we need to know that forgiveness is not a feeling. So we should never wait until the feeling to forgive comes upon us before we forgive someone. This feeling may never come at all. See, forgiveness is an act of obedience and it should be immediate. So if you are going to wait until I feel like doing it, so that feeling will never come. The second point that I'd like to highlight is forgiveness is not condoning what the person did to you. Sometimes we feel when we forgive someone, we are letting the wrongdoer getting away with the offense, but it's not. what we are doing is actually we are releasing the wrongdoer from the debt she owes us and releases us from the bitterness. And forgiveness is also not trusting the offender. When we forgive, it does not mean that we straight away trust that person and immediately allow the person back into our life. So like in some cases where physical or sexual abuse has occurred, forgiveness is needed, but we don't have to trust and allow the offender back into our lives immediately. So in this kind of situations, we need to seek God, trust God, seek His wisdom, and have some godly counsel before we make this decision. But these are some common misconceptions that we might have on forgiveness. So I'll move on to the passage again, verse 31 to 35. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in and he said, "You wicked servant," he said, "I cancel all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. So this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. So the other servant saw what the unmerciful servant did to his fellow servant. They were very angry and informed their king everything that had happened. So the king expected the servant to show mercy and compassion to his fellow servant. When the servant didn't forgive, the king was angry and summoned the unmerciful servant. He was handed to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. So church, this is kind of like very pretty straightforward message to us. It's a great warning to all of us. Because when we read in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 to 15, it says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." So if we don't forgive, we cannot expect forgiveness from God. So God's word is very clear when it says this. We will also be cast into hell if we continue to hold on to unforgiveness because of our hardened heart. And God warns in James chapter 2, verse 13, "Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment." So when we don't extend the same mercy and forgiveness to someone else, God's wrath remains on us and we will be judged for all our sins, even the one that we did earlier, everything, and we will be tortured in hell. This is a great warning to all of us, church. And I would like to conclude here. So church, God has given us many relationships and God takes special attention on how we treat each other, especially our Christian brothers and sisters. We are all imperfect people. We will always make mistakes when it comes to dealing with each other. There will definitely be some miscommunication, misunderstanding, even some conflicts. But in order for us to remain connected as a community, forgiveness must be practiced. And church, forgiveness is a must, as it's an act of obedience, like what I said. It's an act of obedience towards God. It's not an option, but a command we need to follow. And Jesus Christ is our perfect example. We are going through the book of John in our Sunday sermons right now. And as we go through these pages, right, these chapters and passages and parables on Sundays, we can see how Jesus was rejected. He was ridiculed. He was slapped. He was flogged, mocked, spat on his face. And finally, the people, they crucified him. In John chapter 1, verse 11, it says, "He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him." Everyone rejected him. Even the disciples left him. The forgiveness for our sin came at a great cost, the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ at the cross. He is all-powerful and has every authority under him. Yet, he didn't use his power to punish us, but to forgive and save us. And it's written in Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. So church, even as we receive God's forgiveness, God teaches us to forgive others. So it's difficult because our hurts are deep and painful. And the memories are always there. But that's exactly what God expects from us, to forgive. So let's find strength from God and mirror His love towards people around us by forgiving them unconditionally. Amen. Let's commit this time in prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. In church, I believe that God is speaking to many of us here today. Many of us. This is a subject that sometimes we want to avoid. We don't want to talk about it. But God wants us to forgive. There could be someone who has done something against us many, many years ago. And the wounds are still fresh. The memories are still fresh in our minds. But God wants us to forgive. The most important thing is like for us to let go of the bitterness and move on. Be freed and move on. Move on into everything that God has in store for us. Move on into every area we are stuck. That sometimes we feel like we can't move, and we will be surprised. The reason behind all these things, the root cause, is because of our unforgiveness. And today, God wants us to let go of this. God wants us to forgive. And God wants to free us so that we can move forward. And today, church, if as we hear this message, as we come together and as we pray, if there's someone that God is pointing to our hearts today, if there's someone or anyone that God is actually telling us, it could be some our bosses, our workplaces, business partners, our colleagues, our friends, it could be our own family. If God is reminding us to forgive, let's forgive. Father, we want to thank you, God. We want to praise you, God. I pray, God, that you will soften our hearts, God, to forgive, God, those who have offended us, God. We want to thank you, Father, and praise you, God, for you are such a merciful God. And you don't keep track, God. You don't keep record of our sins, God. I thank you, Father God, that when we come before you, O God, in our desperation, O God, in our brokenness, O God, you, God, accept us, O God, and you will never cast us away, O God. And when we come before you, O God, and seek forgiveness, O God, I thank you, Father, because it's always, always available for us, O God. I thank you, Father, for your grace. I thank you so much for your mercy, O God. And today, God, we pray and ask, Lord, that you give the church the same strength, O God, the strength to forgive, O God, the strength to love, the strength, O God, to show kindness to people around us, O God, to show your love, O God, and to accept everyone, O God. Father, this is so lacking, O God, in today's world, O God. Father, I just seek you, Lord, for your grace upon us, O God, for you to move among us, O God, and for you to minister in our hearts, O God. Holy Spirit, move mightily today, O God. Move mightily today. And I pray that you give us the strength to forgive, O God. We praise you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. In the most precious name we pray, O God. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we want to praise you and thank you for your presence in this place. We want to thank you that you are with us, that you are leading us and guiding us, dear God. Dear Lord, even as we have heard your word, let us know you, Lord, as a God who is merciful. Father, we perhaps, Lord, don't understand this, have not spent enough time, Lord, dwelling on your mercies, dear Lord. But we pray, Lord, that our eyes will be open to how merciful you are. Even as your word says, Lord, mercy triumph over judgment. Judgment would have closed the doors, Lord, but because of mercy, that door to you always remains open, dear Lord. And this season is extended every day, Lord, in our lives, in our challenges and everything, Lord, that door is open. And dear Lord, let us be mindful, Lord, as you are able to show mercy when we have failed, Lord, how much more mercy you are able to extend to us in our weaknesses, dear Lord. And that's what you want us to do, Lord, to come, Lord, trusting you, knowing, Lord, our limitations, our weaknesses, that we may find grace and mercy, Lord, and strength in your presence. So, Lord, we pray that we will understand, dear God, that you are with us, that you are guiding us, that you are leading us, that no matter what the challenges we are facing, mercy, Lord, extends from your throne. It is you, Lord, at the mercy seat. And you want us to come to that place, dear God. And dear Lord, you invite us, Lord, to participate in this character of yours. As you said, Lord, blessed who are merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. We pray, Lord, Father, that even in this moment, as we look around us, our hearts, Lord, will be stirred with mercy, Lord, that comes from you. That we pray, Lord, because we seek mercy, Lord, for those who are facing difficulties and challenges. We will plead for mercy for those who have strayed away from you. We seek for mercy for the lost, for those who do not know you, dear God. Dear Lord, we pray that we will not seek mercy in a way that despises your holiness, dear Lord, but rather, Lord, Father, we will take seriously, Lord, about the coming judgment, Lord, and have an urgency, Lord, for the world to receive your mercy in this time of grace, dear God. That in their lifetime, that they will turn to you, dear God. So, Lord, we pray that you would just shift our perspective, dear Lord. We truly need your mercy. We truly need to be instruments of mercy ourselves, dear Lord. Our words should be better, Lord. It should convey your grace and mercy. Our thoughts of for people and for situations must also, Lord, reflect your mercy. So help us, Lord, in this time, even as we come to pray before you as a church, dear Lord, let us be led, Lord, by your merciful hand, by your goodness, dear God. Father, continue to lead us, to speak to us, dear Lord, and continue to guide this country, continue to heal this country, and bring it, Lord, into your loving care. We just pray for all the churches, Lord, in Malaysia. Yes, many of them are praying, are seeking your face, dear Lord, are waiting upon you, dear Lord. We pray, Lord, that you will turn our sense of helplessness around, dear Lord, Father, because you are moving in this season. Dear Lord, you can open doors, you can start conversations, you can bring conviction and stir things, Lord, Father, in such a time like this, because you are merciful. So let your church, Lord, rise and engage, Lord, the things that you are calling us to do so, Lord, Father, so that your goodness, Lord, will flood this place. We thank you. Be with everyone who is here. Continue to keep them in your love, your goodness, Lord, Father. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.